Yeah, taking my exercise. I don't know if you've ever noticed, I move around just a little tangent. That's just love of God, passion for Jesus. Go ahead, pray a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are delighted to have this time with you. We're not here, Lord God, just punching the worship clock. Just kind of getting through this, and I'm the best thing of the day. God forbid that. But we're here to hear from you. Sometimes, Lord God, when life is most difficult for us, when we perhaps could even be at our loneliest point, darkest point, we're okay. There's a light in us, there's a light around us. It's all you, always has been, always will be. So God, change our lives, deepen our faith in you. And when there's any type of difficulty at all, Lord God, oh God, would we please not cower to that, but rather bow to you, be strengthened by you, and then live our lives for you in that aspect. Bless us, bless me as I bring this word. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Together we will say amen.
Amen.
A lot of neat things going on in this congregation. You guys should try coming to three worship services for a solid month. You'll see what I mean. There's a lot of wonderful things happening and a lot of wonderful people coming, a lot of lives being changed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all happy to be here? Amen.
Amen.
Here's our theme for today. Living strong in relationships when they're suffering. When they're suffering. I want to tell you something. It's easy to be a strong Christian when it's easy. Easy peasy. Not a problem. But when life is hard and when life is difficult, that's when our true faith and our true character shines. Living strong in relationships when there is suffering. Now, there's all kinds of suffering that one could go through. Just to give you a couple examples. When a family member, a friend, or a loved one dies, suffering, great pain, I know. And so many of these church members know. So many of you know. When there's the end of a friendship, wow, that's tough. That's difficult. I pray, God, that our side of the street is clean. How about this? When we suffer because of poor behavior, because of poor choices, let's just call it what it is, sin. Have you ever brought some heartache to your life and the life of others because of your sin? Amen? Probably all done that. I usually get a real quiet amen when I ask that question. But this is where we're going today. Living strong in relationships when they're suffering. And we haven't done anything to cause it. We didn't bring it on. We've been living in the light. But they're suffering because somebody else doesn't like us. Somebody else wants to harm us. Somebody else has an in for us. I don't know if you've ever been through that. But that's a difficult, difficult thing to get through. Years ago, I mentioned this in the past sermon. Years ago, in a different congregation, there was a rumor that was started about me, which absolutely was not true. And the man really didn't even begin to spread it to really hurt or harm me. But when it goes through the rumor mill, you know, we have to be very careful what we share. When it goes through the rumor mill, it became a very difficult thing. And everything was mine, and everything was correct. But, whoa, that's difficult to go through. But here's something wonderful that happens. Really? Something wonderful that happens when others cause us to suffer. We get closer to God. We might get serious about our prayer life. We might just spend more time in the Word of God. And I submit this to you. If it works then, and it does, wouldn't it work all the time? Couldn't we just get closer and closer and closer to God all the time?
So here from the get-go, before I even get deeper into the message, I want to share two wonderful solutions for our purposes today. The gospel lesson you just heard, John chapter 15. From John chapter 15, 1 through 15 or 20, over and over and over again, it talks about abide, remain, abide, remain, abide, remain in Christ Jesus. He's the vine, we're the branches. You see, it's never Jesus who moves, it's always us. But sometimes when we move and we create distance between ourselves and Christ, we don't hear him quite as clearly because we move. We just got other things on our mind. We might genuinely not be as interested. But if we stay close to Christ, if we abide and remain, Scripture says, then we will bear much fruit. I absolutely believe the direct amount of fruit you're producing has to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're close to him and abiding in him. So we learn to be close. We learn to be close. So we live strong in relationships when there's suffering. But here's another solution. Paul alluded to it in the confession this morning, Romans chapter 12. The word of the Lord says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Do you know anybody, pardon my English, but do you know anybody who's gooder, who's better than the Lord God Almighty? And what happens if we cling to him? What others are thrown at us and they want it to stick isn't going to happen. Because you see, we don't have any room for it. We're already clinging to the Lord God. The word of the Lord says this: don't overcome evil with evil. But I'm sure we've all tried that. If somebody ever hurts you, you try to hurt them back. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. And then the word goes on to say, if it's possible, as much as it depends upon you, live at peace with everybody. Live at peace with everybody. My friends, peace is not an outside job. It's an inside job. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, living within you and me. So that what happens to us on the outside of us, what we see and what we hear, doesn't affect us or hurt us as much. Because we've got peace, we've got him, Christ Jesus. Live strong in relationships when there's suffering. I want to give suffering here in this message now a couple of names and some identities, okay? This morning I want to talk a little bit about two guys that you probably have heard of before. David and Saul. Before we tackle the issue of suffering that was brought into David's life because of Saul, I want to talk a little bit about David. I love David. You guys love David? David's absolutely phenomenal. He's just a great, in many respects, he's a great example of being faithful to God. And you know what else? He's an example of when people aren't faithful too, but yet God is faithful. Here's probably my favorite thing about David. The word of the Lord says about David, this was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. What does that mean? He wanted more of God. Do you guys want more of God? He satisfied with it. He was a man after God's own heart. It was like he experienced a little bit of God's heart, a little bit of God's love, but you know, he wanted the whole thing. But you know what? He could never grasp the whole thing because how do you do that with God's heart that is so big you can't even be explained or described? There's no end to his love. But David was a man after his own heart. I think largely speaking, David's focus and his goal in life was to be after God's heart. Do you realize how much different you and I would all be if we were a people after God's heart? I mean, we were after it. We were absolutely after it. And we wanted more of it. You know what happens? The closer we get to God, the less we have to do in terms of pointing out our faith or our love or our care for people. Because it's so poured into by Christ, it just shines through. We got to remember the word of the Lord that says love makes no demands. It keeps no record of wrongs. David was a man after God's own heart. Here's something else about David I like. He was a little guy. He was not necessarily a big guy. He
wasn't a tall person, but yet, he was that man after God's own heart. He was big, and he was tall in his heart. He was faithful with all of his chores and responsibilities in the town of Bethlehem in which he grew up, being one of Jesse's sons. He was also faithful at being a shepherd. He was really, really a good shepherd. And you know what? It's not easy being a shepherd. I wonder how many of you, if I called you over the phone, I said, our Saint Louis Church has decided to buy 50 sheep, and we've elected you to come take care of the sheep. And then you say, got any other jobs? Probably wouldn't be very excited about that. But David did that, and he did it willingly, and you know what? He did it to the best of his ability. One of my favorite things when I'm talking about David is to say this. He saw his heart, his love for God, and he took him from the pasture to the palace. He took him from being a shepherd boy, and later in David's life, he would become the king of Israel. But the reason why that happened is he was a man after God's own heart. Something else I love about David. He was a musician. You got any musicians in the house? One? You got any musicians in the house? Do we have anybody who sings hymns or every song to the Lord? Hey, this is the interactive part. Do we have anybody here who ever worships the Lord? Come on, put your hands up. Come on. Stay in this now. David, whatever he was given to do, did it with all his heart. And the instrument he played was the harp. I don't know how to play the harp, but I know that it's not an easy instrument to play. And he had probably put in a lot of practice, but he got so good at it that when King Saul was having so much difficulty with many things he was tormented with, David played the harp, and Saul would be comforted. What's important about that? If David worshiped the Lord, and it helped him, and it comforted him, and God so used him to comfort others, then my friends, worship is good for the Christian. Amen? It's good for us to come, and it's good for us to worship. And David was a worship leader. Whatever God gave him to do, once again, he did it with all his heart. Something else about David. He had a great faith. You know why he had a great faith? You know why he was strong and courageous? Because he knew the size of God. And that certainly God was greater and bigger than any person ever made, than any problem ever set before him. Remember a guy by the name of Goliath? Yeah, okay, pretty good size. But he was defiant against God. And David knew that. And by the way, God, go figure, this is a little bigger than Goliath. David knew that too, and so he killed Goliath. For that, Saul was very grateful. He was very, very pleased. And so he continued to promote David over and over again. But then something happened. When they were coming back from one of the battles, the people were praising Saul and said, he has killed thousands. But when David was coming back, the people said, he has slain tens of thousands. What do you think happened to Saul? He became bitter, and he became upset. Nobody had done a thing to him. Everybody was just sharing the truth and proclaiming their joy, proclaiming victory. What was happening in Saul's life happened within his own soul, within his own being. Scripture says that when that chant happened in David's behalf, and they weren't against Saul, but when that chant happened in David's behalf, Scripture says he kept a jealous eye on him. From that point on, and for the rest of Saul's life, he had a jealous eye on David. Do you know it takes a lot of work to be mad at somebody? Totally unproductive. Do you know it takes a lot of work to despise somebody, to be bitter at somebody, to have hatred towards somebody? Oh, by the way, none of that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's what was happening in Saul's life. He had a jealous eye on David. You know what the word jealous there means in the original Hebrew language? It means to be completely intolerant. To be so hostile, fill up with rage within one's heart, that you begin to burn inside towards hurting another and wanting to bring damage to another. In this case, King Saul wanted to kill David, and he tried over and over again.
Oh, that'd be tough, wouldn't it? That'd be tough
to have somebody in your life in that position who knowingly wanted to kill you.
What would that be hard? How did David get through it?
Let's see. He was a man who had a heart after God. He knew that God was with him, that God was with him, that God was with him, that God was with him. You read 1 Samuel 17 and 18, it says over and over again that God was with David, that God was with David, that God was with David. David knew that God was with him. He was close to him because he was practicing the abiding principle. My friends, when we struggle and when we stumble and when we start to cave in a little bit, I believe we forget that God is with us. And he wants to remind us through this wonderful example of David, you're going to get through it and it's going to be okay. David knew God was with him. How else did David get through it? He knew that he had the support. Are you ready for this? He had the support of Saul's own son, Jonathan. Saul's own son, Jonathan. By the way, have you ever known a family and some people in the family liked you and other people in the family didn't like you? Never happened to you? You just do the very best that you can. But listen to what the word of the Lord says about Jonathan's love for David and how God positioned Jonathan for just this thing. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and he said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly." David hadn't done anything wrong. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by trying to kill him for no reason? Didn't that something? But you see, David knew this about himself. You see, when you're wrecked, you're wrecked. When you're in the light, you're in the light. And man, I'll tell you what, God protects us and he sees us through. But here's what's nice about the grace of God, too. When we're wrong, when we're not in the light, guess what? God forgives us and he picks us up and he sees us through again. But David was in a good position here because he knew God was with him. He had the support of Jonathan. And then there's something else I think sometimes we miss when we hear this story. Remember all those people who were praising David? Really praising God for David's success and his victories. Tons of folks. David had that working for him too. And sometimes when we have difficulty in our life and we have problems, what we have a tendency of doing is focusing on the problems and we forget that we have a much bigger solution than the problem that exists before us. If there were 50 people against you, and it was just you and 24 other people, but God was on your side, who's going to win that battle? You're going to win that battle. If there's 500 people against you, and you got nobody, zero, but you got God, but you're living in the light, who's going to win that battle? You are. God's going to protect you, and he's going to see you through. And you see, God is with us too, church. I would imagine, don't all of you have one or two very close friends? Somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can confide in. Well, David had that. And don't we have each other in this church? It's one of the great reasons why the church exists. So we don't have to go through life alone, but using the great tools that God has provided so we can be strong, strong, strong. And I'm so glad that the Smiths are here who joined our church at the 10 o'clock service, and the Wyatts are here too. And we believe, Wyatts, that we've got something to offer you. But we also believe that you've got something to offer us. And don't we all agree that we're stronger together? Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to share a true story with you right now. It's a tough story, but it's a great story. It's a story about a young paramedic who just started going to church a couple weeks prior to what I'm about to share with you. He realized he needed God in his life. He didn't have as much of God as he needed. Well, as a paramedic, he was called to the scene of an accident. A
car had just hit the little boy. And so he got to the scene of the accident, and when he saw the little boy, and the little boy was in rough shape, he recognized this little boy to be the son of a family that he had just met when he started going to this church. He went, oh my. Well, he did everything he could for the little boy, as he was taught, being a paramedic. But then he also began to pray for him and to care for him as best he could in that way. At the same time, as he was doing that, he was thinking, because he was pretty young in the faith, he was thinking, you know, what kind of God would allow this to happen? I mean, this little precious boy get hit by a car. Well, they get him loaded up, and they take him to the hospital, and right before he goes into surgery, his father gets there. And the father recognizes the paramedic, and the paramedic, the father, because they had just met. They were new friends. And the father said to the paramedic, this is really, really difficult for us, but you know, we got a great God, and we're just going to trust him for the outcome. We're just going to trust our great God. The paramedic looked at the father like, what? Little boy went into surgery, and he was in surgery for hours and hours. And after surgery was all finished, the doctors came out and met with now the entire family in the waiting room, and they said, we are so very sorry, but your little five-year-old son died. There's nothing more we can do. True story. Well, this paramedic was just beside himself, really frustrated, but yet he continued to observe that faith-based family. Came time for the little boy's funeral. You can imagine the church was just packed with church members, as well it should be. But you know what else happened? A whole bunch of friends from the community, neighbors, business associates who were close to that family came as well. Many, many, many of them not having a church home or a relationship with Jesus Christ. The paramedic was sitting there in the worship service, and he was thinking, this is absolutely horrible. How could anything good ever come out of something like this? You know what happened later in the worship service? The pastor said, I don't know if all of you have a relationship with the Lord or not, but this might be a great opportunity for you to start one if you hadn't. And he said, I want everybody just to bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray a prayer for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior. And if you want to receive this, just ask me in your heart today, and God will see to it. You'll get that all worked out for you. You know, after that worship service, there were many, many people who made a commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The paramedic found out about that. You know what he said? He said, wow, pain is still there, suffering is still there, still a horrible, horrible thing. But from a little boy's death, many people have come to life because of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exactly what happened for you and for me? Because of Son's life, Son of God, Jesus, didn't that exact same thing happen where he died? Not in an automobile accident, but willingly at the cross. And you know what? Hey gang, he didn't do one single thing wrong. Not a thing. You know who did everything wrong? We did. And he said, I love you still, and I'm going to die for you now. And as a result of a person's death, life comes, and life occurs. My friends, living strong in relationships, when there's heartache, living strong in relationships, when there's suffering, not easy to do, but we can do it through the strength and the love that we have in Jesus Christ. You've got the strongest force if you allow it to come up. It's Jesus Christ. I want you to live in that strength. And I want you to share that strength with others like that family did with the paramedic and with all their friends who came. And you watch
God Almighty do a tremendous, tremendous work. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask you all to stand to your feet. Pastor, would your team come up? Give you just a moment to quiet yourselves and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the incredible, splendid heart that you have for the world. We know something about that heart, Lord God. But we want to be like David, people after your heart, people after your heart, and that we'd be never satisfied knowing there's always more. Thank you that you surround us with advocates like you did for David and Jonathan and many, many, many other people who affirmed his life. Thank you for the church, Lord God, this church, and how we can be you to one another. Lord God, there are so many people out there in the world, kind of like that paramedic, and then people who yet don't know you, that really need to see the light of your love shine through our lives when there is suffering, even brought on by other people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for suffering for us, for laying down your life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your love never stopped and it never will. But oh, how we praise and thank you for your grace. Because if the only thing we had was your grace, if the only thing we had was your grace, Lord, if the only thing we had was your grace, your word says your grace is sufficient for us. As we close now, Lord, with this song, as we worship you, Lord God, might we put our heart into it. Might we not just listen to the praise team sing, but might all of us worship and sing. And then, Lord God, move us into the community, wherever you want us to go, living our lives for you, because you lived your life for us. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And together we say amen.
Amen.